Well, welcome to church this morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. For those of you that might be newer to our church and don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Jamin. I am the youth pastor here. And today I have the privilege of continuing our series of Genesis. It's kind of ironic that today, on Mother's Day of all days, we'll be talking about sibling rivalry and learning all we can from Cain and Abel. So this morning, we're going to learn lessons from Cain and Abel. And now when I say we're going to learn lessons from Cain and Abel, what I'm saying is these are lessons that I also learned this week. That as I wrestled with them, I thought it best to bring them to you this morning. So today we're going to look at the first major crime ever committed. The first part of Genesis chapter 4 tells us of the dangers of jealousy, hate, unhealthy competition, and entitlement. Now, these negative things have the ability to kill our families and destroy the good relationships that we share with others. Now, if you have your Bibles with you today, open them with me to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. If you don't have them, that's okay. I've got scripture on the PowerPoint. It says, "Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, 'With the Lord's help, I have produced a man.' Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of the crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift. But he did not accept Cain and his gift, and this made Cain very angry. He looked dejected. 'Why are you so angry?' the Lord asked Cain. 'Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master.' One day, Cain suggested to his brother, 'Let's go out into the fields.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' Cain responded. 'Am I my brother's guardian?' But the Lord said, 'What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth.' Cain replied to the Lord, 'My punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer, and anyone who finds me will kill me.' And the Lord replied, 'No, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you.' Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden." In the first two verses, we read that Adam and Eve start the process of being fruitful and multiplying. And when Eve gives birth to Cain, she says, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." She feels great joy that she has given birth to Cain, and later to another son, Abel. Abel tended to the livestock, and Cain tended to the fruits of the earth, or the vegetables or grain, or whatever else grows in the ground. So they both work in producing food in some way. They both work, and they both provide, and they both have a close enough relationship to God that they talk to him on a normal basis. So they seem to have a lot in common here. And as brothers and direct descendants of the first humans, I wonder if they even looked the same. But somewhere in the heart of Cain, things started to change. As Cain and Abel were born after the fall, they were the first people to be born with a sinful nature. Adam and Eve weren't born with a sinful nature, but they made the choice that separated us from God, and as a consequence, now all humanity has a natural desire to do what is the opposite of what God wants us to do. We're violent in nature, we're mean-spirited, we lust easy and go after fleshly desires. But it's only with Jesus do we have a real fighting chance at resisting sin and our baser instincts. When it comes to worship, they both bring sacrifices of their harvest. With Cain, it's some of the fruit of the soil. But with Abel, he brings fat offerings from the firstborn of the flock. And here is where we read the first issue they have together. This is where Cain's jealousy of his brother starts. And this is where we start to learn our first lesson from Cain and Abel. Our first lesson is we need to give our best to God. Cain seems to only have brought some of his fruits, not his first fruit or his best fruit or even his better ones. He just kind of brings what he has to just because. He gives the bare minimum requirement to God. But it's important to notice here that God doesn't chastise him for this. He just simply doesn't get the recognition that Abel does. We often do this in our lives. We'll only give half of ourselves, even after we've committed ourselves to following Christ 100%. We still have one foot in the world. And when God asks us to do something or act out in faith, we say, maybe when I'm feeling a little braver. Or, God, I don't have that much to give anyways. Or maybe it's, well, God, you see, I'm saving for a really nice vacation, so I can't really give this week. It's surprisingly easy to do this. Cain only gave what was conveniently available to him rather than finding his best and giving it back to God, who gave him all he had in the first place. One writer suggests that Cain had offered a gift which cost him nothing and given God what he had already owned, where Abel gave directly from his livelihood. So we'll compare this with Abel. Abel gave his best, his firstborn animals to the Lord. Now this is like when we give our 100% to God. And when we do what we say we'll do. This is when we go and tell that coworker about Jesus and invite them to church, whether or not we're nervous. It's when we take courageous steps of faith and act out on what we know that God has called us to. But failing to do this is not the end of the world. God is always speaking to us, encouraging us to do what is right. Now, it was Cain who felt bad. It wasn't God. It wasn't Abel. It was Cain. Cain was angry that he didn't get the recognition that he felt he deserved. Cain felt entitled to the praise and validation of doing a good job. Now, I think we can all relate to that feeling of not getting the recognition we think we deserve for something. There was a time when I was in classes at university and I was working on a group project with four other people. We had put quite a few hours into our research project, but there was always that one person in the group who barely even shows up to help with the project. And when they finally do show up, they don't contribute that much. Maybe they're on their phone or they're just not very interested in what's going on. This happened in one particular project, and we all felt like we put in a decent effort, except for that one person in the group. So when it came time to hand in our project to the professor, the girl in our group who sent the email decided to leave the name of that person who wasn't contributing out of the assignment. That was unbeknownst to myself and the rest of the group. And when we got our marks back, the professor knew exactly what was going on, because our group only had four names on the project instead of five, and there was only one student who didn't have his name attached to anything. So we all got full marks except for the person who didn't do anything for the project, and that person was very upset with the group, and even upset with the professor, claiming that they had put an equal and if not more effort than the rest of us. But the professor knew what was going on. Why would we just pick on one person? Now that person felt entitled to a grade that they didn't deserve because they didn't put in the effort. And they didn't get the reward because of it. And because of that, jealousy and hate separated the relationship between that person and the girl who submitted the assignment. And they were friends before. Now not giving his best to God is what started the sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel, because Cain couldn't take responsibility. Which brings us to our second lesson. We're to take responsibility for our actions. In verse 5, we read that Cain was very angry with what had happened. It doesn't say with what, but by his later actions, we can assume he's angry with his brother. His brother had given his best to God, And because of that, Cain was experiencing jealousy. Cain's anger in Abel was unjustified. It was Cain who made the mistake, not Abel. The anger in his heart towards his brother was of his own doing, but Cain failed to see it that way, and he didn't take responsibility. Now, most of us probably realize when we do something wrong, and then try to make the change in our hearts to not make the same mistake again, and taking responsibility for the way that we've been. Now, we like to think that we do that, but the reality is we don't always, do we? Only sometimes do we take responsibility for our actions. Now, I'm sure many of us can relate to making a mistake, and instead of owning up to it and handling the consequences maturely, we fight and try and make it somebody else's fault. It's not my fault that I missed my friend's birthday party. He should have been born on a better day. That's easier to remember. Hopefully, we all have people in our lives that can hold us accountable. And when we're hold us accountable when we're not taking responsibility for our actions. Maybe that person can be a spouse or a friend or a pastor or just a mentor that's in your life. But if you don't have someone in your life to hold you accountable, I encourage you to go out and find one. Even Cain had an accountability partner. Now, in this time, there weren't too many people around. So God went to Cain and tried to encourage him. He tried to encourage him to do the right thing, to be his accountability partner. Now, I used to think that if God was able to directly hold me accountable for all the time by speaking audibly to me as a friend, that I would never mess up. If I was about to do something and God say, hey, careful, I would just turn around and do the opposite. But that's exactly what Cain has in this passage. In verses 6 and 7, we read, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sinning is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. God knows Cain's mood. He knows his thoughts, and he knows his intentions. He knows him inside and out. And he warns him. He tries to get him onto the right path. He says, do the right thing. Now, the Message translation puts this a little differently, or a little easier to understand. It says, God spoke to Cain, why this tantrum? Why the sulking? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce. It's out to get you. You've got to master it. I used to think that God was talking about his sacrifice that caused the jealousy. I used to think that they were talking about what happened before then. But now I realize that God is warning him about the feelings that he's having and the actions that he's tempted to take later. God himself tells Cain to master his negative feelings and get control of them before it starts to control him. And he gives in completely to the hate that's building up in his heart. Now, we're all guilty of this in some way. It may not look exactly the same or lead to a murder, but we have God telling us which way we should go. We're given his word. And I don't know about you, but when I'm about to make a bad choice, I seem to remember his word on the thing I'm about to do before I do it, giving me the chance to turn around and do the right thing. Do any of you have that happen to you? That all of a sudden you'll have a scripture come to mind and God will be reminding you of which way to go. But the choice on whether or not we leave and do the right thing is ours alone to make. We must learn to master our thoughts if we expect to control our actions and take responsibility for the things we do and feel, or we can get ourselves into some serious trouble. Which brings us to the third lesson that we learn from Cain and Abel, that the cost of sibling rivalry is much more than we think. It's always more than we expect. Now, I'm not sure what Cain was expecting to happen as a result of his attack on Abel. Maybe he was thinking that no one would notice, and that maybe he could blame the death on an animal or a work accident. Or maybe he was just so angry at that point, he wasn't even thinking about that at all, and he was just ready to take action. But in verse 8, just after God tells Cain to master his sin so it doesn't control him, we read, one day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now this makes it seem like he was planning the attack for a while, or at least since he talked to God. Although we can't really know for sure what his thought process was. Maybe they had a conversation and tried to work it out, and Cain lost his temper. But what matters is Cain couldn't master his anger, and it cost him everything. How many of us know that family is very important? Now, today is Mother's Day, so I'm sure many of you are going to call your mothers and wish them a happy day today. And maybe many of you will see your siblings, and maybe for some of you, you don't get along with your siblings. But you know that for the greater good of today's brunch and meeting with family, that it's in your best interest to just do your best and tolerate them for a little while, just for another day. What happened to Cain is what happens when you don't control yourself in those times. Now, I know that none of us are dealing with the issue of trying to kill our siblings, I hope. But maybe there's been a fight that you just couldn't walk away from and still be close like you were. Maybe something that you or your sibling said has killed the relationship between you. Oftentimes, we still don't think we have done any wrong. When God confronts Cain after he's killed his brother, Cain greets God with sarcasm. God asks, "Where's your brother, Abel?" And Cain replies, "Am I my brother's keeper? Or am I my brother's guardian?" He's in denial of his actions. He still thinks what he did was okay. Now, do we do this when we say, "Sure, I'll be friends with my brother again, only if he'll apologize to me," all while ignoring the part that we played in the fight to begin with? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? Is it my problem where he is? In some ways, yes. But the answer to this, in the most part, is no. But what is your problem is where your heart is. If your brother is stumbling, it's your responsibility to go and help him. But you can't control what he does after that. Your brothers or your sisters have to deal with their own stuff, but before you can bring healing to a relationship, you need to make sure that you've dealt with the sin in your own heart. God's response to Cain wasn't to kill him or have him experience the same thing that he'd done to Abel. Instead, God shows a different kind of justice and some mercy that maybe we just don't notice it all 100%. And as with Adam and Eve as they're cast out of Eden, but given clothes as mercy, Cain is sent from God's presence as well, where he goes east of Nod. He's cursed so that life will always be difficult for him. He's cursed in verses 11 to 16, and we'll read that now. "Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord replied, "No, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try and kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. His curse is significant. No longer will the work he does bear any results. He will never have a good harvest again. He will be homeless and looking for a place to live and never be at rest. But God still provides him with protection. God still shows mercy to him in this time. The mark he places on Cain shows literary parallels with other places in the Bible. One place we can see this is at the door of the Israelites in Egypt, so God would spare their children at the first Passover. And in Ezekiel, where the people of Jerusalem mark their forehead to lament the collapse of the city and God's departure from it. And in Revelation, with the seal on the forehead of the 144,000 faithful. These are all literary parallels, but they all describe something drastically different. but they all have something to do with God's mercy and punishment and justice all happening at one time. But in verse 17, we read that Cain founds a city. One writer suggests that the mark could be the city that he's built. As such, Cain's city could have been the first city of refuge, where people who commit murder could be protected from vengeful killings until a trial could be held to determine whether the killing was intentional or an accident. A place of refuge until a fair trial could be held. But in any case, it's mercy that God bestows upon a sinner who is just like us in many ways. You see, judgment was God's alone to give and not man's. Anyone who kills Cain will be punished seven times over because they're saying that God is unjust and his judgment was not good enough because God had already judged Cain and that they could do better. And that is why God is so strict on the punishment for killing Cain. So today, as we go and we spend time with family and siblings and loved ones, let's make sure that we don't let family drama ruin our relationships. God has given us our relationships, and he doesn't want to break them over any type of squabble. If you find that you have a rivalry with your brother or sister, ask yourself, have I given my best? Or in other words, do I have any fault in this? Then take responsibility for anything that you may have done. And remember that winning a fight is not worth losing the closeness of family. One thing I've had to learn recently is that it's better to love than to be right. And that when we do that, God will bless our relationships and we can begin to take control of the sin within our family, the sin of unforgiveness. Now notice that God's reaction to what Cain did wasn't to kill him, but to make him live with the consequences of what he'd done. That he'd have to forever live with a mark that showed that he'd killed his brother. Now we may not have a mark that shows physically what we've done, but we're definitely at risk of living life with a chip on our shoulder, which makes life a lot less enjoyable, and we're marked with a bad attitude that people can see. It can change our outlook on life, and it can shift the way that we approach people. So let's focus on honoring God in all of our actions and in all of our relationships with our family, because those are the most important relationships that God has given us on this earth. I'll ask the worship team to come up as we close in prayer.